All right, that's close enough. We'll start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. First of all, welcome to all those who just joined us. Very happy that you could be here to spend New Year's with us. Those of you who have been with us for, you know, a year or two or whatever, know that every year we gather together on December 31st as we celebrate the New Year, and we kind of set a goal for the coming year, something that we as an entire church family can kind of concentrate on and focus on together. Who remembers what the goal of last year was? Humility. Humility. Very good. So we said last year that we want to take the topic of humility and focus on it and really try to evaluate ourselves in humility. I know lots of people did lots of different stuff. Who remembers the year before? Quiet time. Very good. And this is one that I know a lot of people did a really, really good job with. And to this day, I see a lot of people are really dedicated to their quiet time and spending that time in the morning with the Lord. And that's really, really good. In the past, we've done things like read the Bible in the year. We've done things like the unity and the fellowship and all those kinds of different things. So we were trying to figure out what the goal of this year should be. We were trying to figure out where it is that we should, you know, kind of direct our attention to what should be the goal of this year. So this is not something which is easy to do. It's not like there's a book that they give you when you become a priest that tells you what to focus on every year. So we started thinking about it and praying about it. We started to think back. We wanted to kind of like go back to the basics here. So we started asking ourselves, is what is like the beginning? Can you click for me, please? What is like the goal of life? So we try to ask ourselves, let's forget about the goal of this year. Let's just talk about what the goal of life is. What would you say is my goal in life? What's the goal for me and the goal for you? Is the goal to fast a lot? I said, no, the goal is not fasting. The goal is maybe to read the Bible. No, that's something good that we do, but that's not really the goal. That's not really the main essence. So we said, above all else, the goal of life would be, give me a click there, Mark. The goal of life would be the image of Christ. All right? The goal of life, of my life and of your life, if you look at what it is that I'm supposed to get to by the end, is the image of Christ. All right? That's what it says there in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. You can look at that verse together. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. You see, the Bible talks about the goal of life. God's plan for you has always been the same. It hasn't changed. From the very, very beginning, when God created man and woman, he created man in his image and his likeness. He created man and woman to be like him. And if we look at what is the goal of life, it's not just, like I said, to fast. It's not just to pray. It's not even to confess and repent. It's not to be baptized. The goal of life is that when all is said and done, and I'm finished this life here, that I look like Christ. That I talk like Christ. That I think like Christ. That I walk like Christ. That everything about me is in the image and likeness of Christ. All right? Look at the next verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. It says, that we should no longer be children, but may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. All right? We should no longer be children. I like that part. We should no longer be children. You've heard me talk about this before, especially when we talked about the whole 40 days of purpose and discipleship, that the goal of life is not to be children. Just like physically, we hope that when we were born as little babies that we grow and we mature physically. Well, same thing spiritually. And that's what we want to kind of focus on this year, is how to grow more mature spiritually. And a sad thing for many of us is many of us have the spiritual birth. All right? We're baptized. Many of us take the first baby steps and we learn how to walk and goo goo gaga, and we learn how to say our Father, and we learn how to say a few key words in prayer, God bless this and thank you for this, and we learn certain key phrases and we learn certain key things. But we never get past that. We never grow deeper in our spiritual walk. So the goal of this year that we want to focus on is how to grow a little bit deeper, all right? And how to grow more mature. What we're going to do this year a lot is ask ourselves the question, am I in the image of Christ? Am I in the likeness of Christ? Was the way I handled this situation a Christ-like way? Was the way that I dealt in this particular scenario, the way Christ would have acted in that specific situation? The goal, like I said, is to become like Christ. Is this an easy goal? I'm sure some of you are thinking right now, okay, that's nice. That's a real nice goal, but I've been trying to do that for 15, 16, 20 years of my life. That ain't an easy goal. It'd be very nice if I say we're standing here together in 1 year together, 1 year from today, and every one of us will be like looking around like little Christ walking around. It's a big goal. And I'm not saying that you're going to accomplish it in a year. This goal takes a lifetime. But the goal is to just get a step closer. Hey, look at it this way. If I'm sending a rocket into space and I have a target, which is really far away. Let's say I'm sending a rocket up to another planet. Let's say I'm sending it to Uranus. Okay? I'm sending a rocket to Uranus, all right? And it's like a bazillion miles away. All right? And it's really, really, really far away. It's not going to happen. The rocket's not going to hit it overnight. But the point is that as long as I'm on the right direction, the right coordinates, then slowly, day by day, year by year, whatever, it's going to get there eventually. But the problem is that I have to be on the right target. What happens if I know that Uranus is like 45 degrees this way, okay, and I'm supposed to be on that degree in that target, and I get off by 1 degree? What happens? What happens if I'm off by 1 degree? Is it that big a deal? Yeah, it's a big deal. Because look, if I'm off by 1 degree, it's just one slight degree, then I'm not going to hit the target by the end time. All right? You know what? A lot of us have that same problem spiritually. And that's what we're going to try to correct this year. We're going to try to set ourselves on the right goal. And God knows that you, like me, like everyone, that there's slight deviations that may happen. And our goal for this year is that if I go from 45 to 44 degrees, I'm not going to say no big deal, because I know that it is a big deal if I project it out over the rest of my lifetime. And I know that if I'm slightly off, if there's slight deviation, I'm not going to hit that goal in the end. And believe me, if you are honest with yourself, all right? And if you ask me my opinion, what causes the spiritual problems in your life from what I've seen? It ain't major distractions. It ain't big things. It's little deviations. I'm not concerned that anyone's going to walk out of here and become Muslim or become an atheist or be converted to Islam or Jewish or anything like that. That's not what's going to happen. Our problem is not that we're going to turn 90 degrees. Our problem is that we're going to turn 1 degree. And then maybe next year, another degree. And I'm telling you that these 1 degrees add up over time. And if you stay, even if you just shifted 1 degree and you continue on that course, you're not going to hit the target. What I'm talking about here is, we all know that sin is what distracts us from God. But if you go to the original word sin, do you know what the word sin means? The word sin literally means missing the mark. Literally means that there's a mark here and I landed right here. Sin isn't what we think of, like I said, killing and murdering and all this stuff. It's not all these big things. Sin is, here is the bullseye, and I landed right there. That's sin. What we do too often, though, is we make excuses for these little deviations. Ah, it's college, it's exams, ah, I'm busy, whatever. But these little distractions, this is sin. Anything other than a bullseye is considered to be, like I said, a sin, and is not going to get you to the mark. So what should we do? Well, that's where we get to the goal of 2006, all right? And the goal of 2006 is going to be, one more right there, daily self-examination. That's the goal for 2006. Daily self-examination. What I mean by that is, again, back to the rocket ship example. If I'm in this rocket ship, and I know that I have to be right on the 45 degree mark, or else I'm going to miss the planet. I'm going to miss my target. Then what I'm going to do is every single morning when I get up, I'm going to brush my teeth, I'm going to take my shower, and I'm going to check the coordinates. And then at the end of the day, before I go to bed at night, I'm going to check to make sure that when I go to bed, my rocket ship isn't drifted off even by a half a degree. And we're going to do the same thing spiritually. We're going to focus on that target, that mark, which is, like I said in the beginning, the image of Christ, talking like Him, walking like Him, acting like Him, thinking like Him, being everything like Him. And we're going to check ourselves to make sure that we're on it. Look what it says in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is going to be our theme verse for the year. That God would search me, all right? And we're going to search ourselves with a microscope, all right? And we're going to really stress on that, examining myself and searching and seeing if there's any wicked way inside me. Because God knows, if there's 1% deviation, I won't hit the way everlasting. I'm not talking about the goal of the year is to confess once a month. I'm not saying the goal of the year is to go to retreats and stuff like that. I'm saying the goal is every single day to examine myself, to see, not if during the past year, but to see if during that day I strayed one degree from that path. You know that any time that you had a major disruption in life, any major fall spiritually, I guarantee you, it didn't happen overnight. I promise you, it didn't happen overnight. You got yourself in that situation by many, whatever, years or months or days or whatever, of slight deviation. What we're going to try to do is correct it a lot more regularly. So that's what we're going to do, is every single day, we're going to sit with ourselves. We're going to review the events of the day. And we're going to see, did I miss the mark? When I was sitting in traffic and this thing came up, did I miss the mark? When I was with my boss and he told me this, did I miss the mark? When I was in the Starbucks, did I miss the mark? Did I miss the mark in any single time? And we're going to keep in mind what the mark is. The mark is not to not commit murder, not commit adultery. That's not the mark. The mark is the image and likeness of Christ. Now, some of you are probably thinking right now, okay, this is easy. I got this one under control. I don't do anything bad. I'm sure that's what many people are thinking right now. And I know that because many people come and I grab their ear and say, you need to confess this and that. They come in confession. I'm doing fine. How's the spiritual? Things going fine. I don't have that many major problems. Just a couple things here and there, but I got it all under control. If you think that you have it all under control and you think that everything is fine in life, that just means you ain't looking hard enough. That doesn't mean that there's nothing there. All right? And this is actually, this gets to the idea we need to have, too often we make this distinction of major sins versus minor sins. All right? And we need to kind of clarify this right now for everyone right here. We think of major sins are the big ones. All right? And these are what need confession. Probably your 10 commands, the 10 big ones. So if I didn't murder, I didn't commit adultery, I didn't steal, I didn't do any of those bad things, then I'm pretty much okay, because those are the major sins. And you know you fall into these major ones. Like I'm telling you, a lot of us do this when you know that when you confess, my bet is that 95% of what you confess is recent stuff. Stuff that happened within the past 2 weeks. Alright? Does that mean you only sinned in the past 2 weeks? No, it's just we think of those big, major sins. And as long as I'm not doing those, I'm okay. Well, here, I got some bad news for many people in the room today. There are many people who don't have any major sins who will never see the kingdom of heaven. I said this before and I'll say it again. Another way of saying it is there's lots of people who are good, quote unquote, good people who don't do bad things, who are never ever going to taste the kingdom of heaven, who are going to be stuck downstairs for all of eternity. Because that's not the goal. The goal is not to not commit murder and adultery and these things. The goal is, like I said in the beginning, is the image of Christ. All right? And too many of us get deviated from that goal. It doesn't matter if you haven't murdered. It doesn't matter if you haven't committed adultery. If you're not growing in the image of Christ, you are missing the mark. All right? And that's what we need to correct this year. Like, for example, you know the story of the five foolish virgins. The five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. So there's five wise virgins, and they made it into the kingdom. Five foolish virgins didn't make it into the kingdom. What did the five foolish virgins do not to make it in the kingdom? They were prostitutes, right? No, they were virgins. All right, they were drunkards, probably. Probably out drinking and cursing and raising a ruckus outside, and they were doing all kinds of bad stuff, right? They were waiting for the bridegroom to come. These people waited all night long by the gate of the door, waiting for the bridegroom to come. What was their sin? What did they do bad? What was their big mistake that they made that caused them to be cast out and the master to come back and say, I don't know who you are? What was their sin? Their sin was that they just missed something small. It was a minor sin. See what I'm saying? It was a minor deviation. And that's all it took to keep them out of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? It's not going to take a big sin to keep you out of heaven. I promise you. All right? Because like I said, there's lots of people who don't have any of these big sins who won't see the kingdom of heaven. And just like with the rocket, every major sin started off with a minor sin. Every major disaster in life, like I was saying earlier, started off with a minor deviation. Any rocket which missed its target started off by just 1 degree. Anytime there was murder, didn't start with murder, started with a hateful thought. Anytime there was an adulterous relationship, it didn't start with the idea of, I want to cheat on my wife or I want to cheat on my husband. It started very simply of, oh, that's not so bad looking right there. It always starts small, but the small thing leads to a big disaster. Look at an example of Judas. If I took a survey of who the worst person in the history of the world was, everyone would say Judas. He's the worst person ever. What was his sin? Was it a big thing? It must have been a huge sin to be such a bad person. You know what his sin was? Did he want to get Christ crucified? Was that his plan? It wasn't his plan. His plan was just to make a little change on the side. His plan was just to add a little bonus to his income. It was just a little bit of greed. But the little bit of greed quickly escalated into what it turned out to be, which is the crucifixion of Christ. So we need to nip these things in the bud. Look what Songs chapter 2 verse 15 says. It says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. It doesn't take but a very, very, very small fox to destroy an entire field of vines, what the Bible is saying. And it doesn't take but a little itsy bitsy little minor deviation sin to destroy one's life. So this year we're going for the little guy. This year's the year we're going for the little foxes. This is the year that we are not going to be so focused on the did I steal or didn't I steal. We're going to be focused on the did I have a greedy thought or didn't I have a greedy thought. This year we're not going to be worried on did I have sex before marriage or did I cheat on my partner or this and that. This year we're going to be focused on the sexual thought that just came in when I was standing by the corner. This year we're not going to be focused on the gossip and the talking bad about other people. This year we're going to be focused on the judgment thought that entered my head, which no one knew except myself. We're going to try to stop these sins while they're small and while they're still minor deviations. And before they become big, destructive things, we're going to try to get them. Because the bottom line is, whether you are drowning in 20 feet of water or 500 feet of water, either way, you're going to die. And it's the same thing when it comes to sin. Whether you're committing big sins or little sins, as long as there's sin, no image of Christ, there's death. And that's the bottom line of this whole thing. So the goal is, like I said, we're going to examine the little guy. We'll go for the little foxes and try to nip them in the bud early on. The reason why this is so important, more important than you think, is for a couple reasons. First thing, if I don't examine myself every single day, human nature is that I will forget. All right? I will forget. We're going to talk about how every single night we're going to sit with ourselves. You think about it and you be honest with yourself. By the time you wake up in the morning the next day, you forgot more than half the stuff that happened the day before. You remember the big things, but you most certainly don't remember the little things. Forgetting the sin doesn't solve the problem. This is an important one that everyone realizes. That just because you don't remember the sin from yesterday doesn't mean that there's no problem. Just because you don't realize that you strayed 1 degree doesn't mean that there's no problem. Look at it this way. If I got termites in my house and they're starting to eat away at the foundation, and then all of a sudden I wake up one morning and I forgot about them and I didn't remember it, is the problem gone? Have I dealt with the problem? No, just the fact that they don't realize it just means that one day the whole house is going to come a crashing down, but it doesn't mean that the problem is gone away. It's the same thing that happens to many of our spiritual lives. The little termite comes in, and first we try to ignore him because he's annoying, or we try to swish him away or something like that. Or the easiest thing is we just go to sleep and forget about him and don't look at him, don't think about him, and hope that he goes away. I got bad news for you. He's going to go away. He's just going to come and destroy your house when you're not paying attention. And I'm telling you that when Satan wants to destroy a house, he doesn't come with a wrecking ball. He comes with a termite. When Satan wants to destroy a spiritual life, he doesn't come with big sins. I come out here and say, I'm going to tempt you with prostitutes and tempt you with bars. That's not what he's going to tempt you with. He's going to tempt you with the little termite, because he knows that little termite under the bar there, under the foundation, he can take care of business just as good. So, what we need to do, like I said, is examine ourselves. And the goal when we examine ourselves is that we start to look at ourselves, not how we think of ourselves, but how God thinks of us. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Kind of a deep verse, but try to understand it here. Talking about, we all, with unveiled face, beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, as being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, the goal there is that glory to glory, that being transformed into the same image. That's the goal I was talking about in the beginning. Goal is to be transformed from your image to the image of Christ. How does that happen? Well, the only way that happens is you stand with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What that means is we need to every single day take off the veil, take off the mask. And you know the mask. Every one of us got a mask. I got a mask, you got a mask. Some people have 100 masks. And the mask is very simply what we do here. The appearance that I try to put in front of people. How I try to act this way, or try to act like I got it all together, or try to act like there's no problems. Every one of us got a mask. Some people are just better at hiding it than others. But believe me, you got a mask. You may have many masks. But the goal is that I sit with the Lord every day and I remove those masks. And I reveal the things. And I know all the stuff that's going on in my life because of my insecurity. Or because of my impurity. Or because of my this. Or because of my that. And the goal is every day, if you want to be transformed to the image of God, you need to take off the mask. And be unveiled. Think about it. If you're going to go out, all of you came and you all look very nice. You dressed up very nice for New Year's Eve. I guarantee you stood in the mirror before you came here. Well, when is your soul stood in that same mirror? Not one of us thinks about leaving the house without looking in the mirror. But we need to do the same thing with our souls. And we need to take off the junk and the stuff that we pretend and try to act like this and that. And stand and examine our soul. And that's what this daily self-examination is all about. The second reason why this self-examination is so super important is to make me ready for death. Or if you want to put in, you don't like the word death, to meet the Lord. Put it that way. Nice spin to it. Okay? Ready to meet the Lord. All right? Hey, death is no stranger. Right? And it's right around the corner whether you choose to believe it or not. Again, ignoring it, ignoring the fact, not thinking about your death doesn't make it not happen. All right? Just makes you unprepared for it. But we know that we should have to be prepared for our death. Because it's the one thing that is inevitable in life. So how stupid is it to not be prepared for the one thing that I know for sure is going to happen? We prepare, believe me, I'm already prepared for when the Skins go to the Super Bowl and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to get tickets and this and that. And how uninevitable is that? Well, it depends on where you're from, okay? How likely is that to happen I'm prepared for? How likely is all the other things that we prepared for? We prepare for our retirement, we prepare for our kids, we prepare all these different million things and stuff that may or may not happen. I'll tell you the one thing I know for sure will happen is that you will die. And you will meet your Maker. And you will stand like this, face to face with Jesus Christ, right face to face. And don't give me none of this, oh well so and so, or I was just, none of that stuff flies right now. But none of that stuff flies then. You must be prepared for that day, because like I said, it's going to happen. And we should prepare for it every single night. Hey, when we're kids, they teach us daily self-examination. Did you know that? That every single night when you're a kid, you're taught from a very, very young age that before you put your head down to sleep, you prepare for your death. You don't believe me? Sing along with me. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You all know the rhyme, don't you? All right? Parents are all smiling. You teach your kids this, right? Something that we all know. And it's not just a kid's thing. The church has taught us the same thing, that every night before we go to sleep, we prepare for our death. In the prayers of the 11th and 12th hour, you know in the Egbeia, the last 2 hours of the day, the 11th hour and the 12th hour. If you look at those prayers, they're all focused on, hey, I'm putting my head down on this pillow, it may not wake up. I don't know if I'm going to wake up from this pillow, and I best be prepared, because death could surely be right around the corner. Look at your hand out there, there's an excerpt I took from the 12th hour prayer. Alright, there's many of them, but just one to show you how it's focused on your death and meeting the Lord. It says, behold, I'm about to stand before the just judge. says, every night before you sleep, you prepare yourself to stand before the just judge, terrified and shaken because of my many sins. For a life spent in pleasure deserves condemnation. But repent, O my soul, as long as you are dwelling on the earth. For inside the grave dust cannot praise, nor among the dead does anyone remember, nor in Hades does anyone give thanks. That's why this is what we're going to do. This is the theme of the year. Therefore, we are going to arise from the slumber of our laziness, entreating the Savior in repentance, saying, O God, have mercy on me and save me. All right, and this is just one excerpt. Thing is, if we're honest with ourselves, from what I see, like I said in the beginning, how we did quiet time a couple years ago, quiet time, when I ask around, I look around, I see a lot of people who have really dedicated themselves to quiet time, the morning hour, spending the first few minutes of the day with God in the quiet time, the first hour, and things like that. But I also think that many of us are weak when it comes to the nighttime prayers. And that's what we want to focus on a little bit. Not this instead of that. That's an important thing. I'm not saying we're going to focus on the night instead of the morning. The quiet time stuff that we talked about, we're going to keep that. That's a building block. We're going to build on top of that with the nighttime prayer and really stress on that every single night that we focus on our and prepare for our death. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:2. The reason you should prepare for your death every night and examine yourself every night is because you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the day, as a thief when I'm at work, as a thief in the night. So nighttime, the church teaches us, the Bible teaches us, when we're kids, we're taught, the nighttime is when we prepare for our death, and that's why we're going to stay meeting the Lord every single morning in our quiet time, but then we're going to add on top of that, that every single day, I examine myself to make sure that I didn't miss the mark throughout the day. So, how do I do that? Flip to the back of your hand out there. We'll go through some simple steps, and you're going to see all these steps summarized in this pamphlet, okay, which you have with you, but we'll go through some of them right now. All right, 6 quick and easy steps. And what you're going to see is it's a lot like the morning quiet time. The first thing is set a time. There is no one time that it has to be done. But I will recommend to every single one of you that the time to do it is at night before you go to sleep. But not right before you go to sleep. All right. Don't give me the, I'll do it under the covers while I'm in bed and I'm going to spend the whole night examining myself with my eyes closed on the pillow. Don't give me none of that. All right. You do it at night after the day's events have finished, but not right before you go to bed because everyone's exhausted before you go to bed. So a good time is, you know, whenever, you know, the day's events kind of settle down. All right. And you have a chance to do it. So don't do it when you're sleeping. The reason why we do it at night is it gives us a chance to review something. You do it in the morning. Like I said, you don't remember what you did the day before. I don't remember what I did the day before. But at night, the events of the day are fresh in your mind. You sit down and you evaluate them. All right? Next thing you do, you begin with prayer. Like I said, I recommend either the 11th hour prayer or the 12th hour prayer of the Egbeia because they're focused on examining myself, repentance, and preparing for my death. It's important. You must pray before you do this. If you don't pray that God helps you, this will be a futile effort. What I mean is, if you don't pray that the Holy Spirit is really the one revealing the sins, this could end up in a blame someone else session. That you go through the events of your day, and you see how your day, you sin this and that, and the whole thing you can do is focus on how is that guy's fault, and this guy's bad, and everyone's against me, and woe is me, and pity party for me. And that's not the goal of this kind of business. Not to blame others and make excuses. So the goal is we ask God to help us see our sins and how we cause the deviation. And the important thing here is we have to go to the root. All right? Pray that God reveals to us not the outside, but the inside. Not that I did something I shouldn't have done, but the root of that. Why I did something I shouldn't have done. What led to that? And really see the roots of the sin that's inside. So you start with prayer, asking God to do that. Next thing you do, you start to go through your day, examining your day. And this is a thorough process. Now let me first here start you off by telling you that at the beginning, this will be a very lengthy thing. It'll take you a lot of time. But it'll go quicker as you go along. So don't get frustrated by the length of time at the beginning. But the goal is going to be to go through your day, start to finish, Leave no stone unturned. Examine the conversations, examine the phone calls, examine the emails, examine the what you did when you were waiting in line, this and that. Examine all the different aspects of the day, your thoughts, your words, your deeds, your whatever, and see, like I said, not where you did big things, but where you just deviated slightly. In the back of this guide, you're going to find some questions to help you off, to kind of get you going. And a good way of doing this process is to kind of look at categories of sin. All right? It's on the back page. You'll see certain categories of sin. Lust, greed, laziness, pride. You go through these categories, and there's some questions to help you get started. But please be clear that this is not a comprehensive list of all the sins in the world. All right? We couldn't list it all right here, because God knows that you, like me, are very creative with your sins. And you've come up, you've invented new ways of sinning. And you've got great ways of sinning that no one's ever thought of before. So this is just like a way to get you started, but it's not an all-inclusive kind of list. But the goal is, like I said, we go through, we look for the roots, we go for the little foxes, examine where I went wrong throughout the day. It's very important that when you're doing this, that again, you got the right mark. So I'm not seeing where I did something that I thought was wrong, or that so-and-so said. I'm looking for anything which is not Christ-like. Not the way Christ would have thought, not the way Christ would have acted, not the way Christ would have spoken. Okay? So I start to examine my day. Next thing, write it down. This is critical. You must have a pen and a piece of paper with you when you do this. The goal is not to just think of them and in the morning forget them. A wise man once said, if nothing's written, nothing is learned. Because the truth is, none of us have good memories. And all of us have very, very short-term things. So write down these things so you don't forget them. Write them down so that you can examine yourself tomorrow and see if you messed up in the same area. Write down how you're going to fix it. Write down how you're going to make restitution. Write down how you're going to avoid this in the future. Write it down and take it with you to your father of confession in confession. This is a great way. Like I was saying, so many of us come to confession and, I didn't do anything bad this week, or I just did one thing. You've done lots of stuff, believe me. All right? And if you don't know it, it just means you're not looking hard enough. So write it down and keep it with you. This is a great way to keep you accountable with your father of confession and him to see your progress and help you see your progress. Okay? So examine my day and I write it down. Next thing I do is critical, is I repent. The goal is not to just think of the bad stuff I do and just to make myself feel bad. The goal is to repent of them. If you don't do this, you're going to go into depression. Remember, like I said, goal in life, image of Christ. Anything that's deviation, I repent of it. I ask for God's forgiveness. I see how I can stop this in the future. I make decisions that are going to change my life so that I can be transformed into this image and likeness of Christ. This is important that you don't rush this step. Do not rush this step. Do not take your list and say, yes, I'm sorry, God, for doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Please forgive me. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about. Anytime that you want a serious change in life, it only happens in prayer. All right? Nothing good happens unless there's prayer. So if you're spending an hour, 2 hours examining your day and then spending 1 minute in prayer, you will reap the benefits of that 1 minute in prayer. We need to extend the time in prayer. And if you've heard me say this before, don't tell me about quality of prayer. Because the only way you get good quality in prayer is you spend good quantity. But there's no quality without quantity. So spend time here, going sin by sin, and letting God, think of it like surgery, alright? Sin is like a bad thing inside me, and it takes time for God to remove it surgically. But I want Him to go deep inside, and not be rushed, and remove the roots of sin that lead me to this funny behavior. Alright? But don't stop right there with the asking for mercy. The last step, and it's critical that you do it, is reflecting on God's goodness. You see, there's a very big danger that I'm telling you right now with this self-examination. And that's the danger that the devil's going to play with you. The devil's going to mess with your mind. And what the devil would love for you to do all these steps and then not do step six. That would make his day. And you would make his year. This would be the best year for the devil, 2006, if you don't do step six. If you sit there and go through all the bad stuff that you do, the devil would love to convince you. After all that you've done, you can't go back to God. You can't pray now because you did bad stuff. Maybe tomorrow you can pray. All right, tomorrow, but say you can't. You've done too much bad. You can go back to God after all that. You can go to church. You can take communion. You can't. You can't let Abuna see you like this. All right? The devil would love to convince you of that stuff. But anyone who believes that doesn't know squat about God. We need to remember His grace. Remember His goodness. Remember that no matter what the prodigal son did, the father comes with open arms to accept him back. No matter how bad the Samaritan woman was, she wasn't too bad for Christ to welcome her and give her the water that leads to everlasting life. There's no such thing as something that God can't forgive. If you walk out of there saying, my sin is big, that's fine. You say your sin is big, but I want you to know that God's mercy is bigger. And that's the way we have to leave. It's not just walking out of there saying, my sin is so bad, my sin is so bad. My sin is so bad, but God's mercy is so much bigger than any sin that I can do. We say that every single time. And this is one of the things, believe me, alright, I want to kill myself sometimes when I start to think about my sins and I want to just go into depression. But then I always think to Psalm 51, alright, where it says at the very, very end that a broken and contrite heart, O God, these you will not despise. And I hang on that. That there's nothing that the devil can say. Because look, it says right here that a contrite heart, that a heart that repents, a heart that wants to fix itself and wants that image and likeness of Christ, that heart will never be despised or turned down by God. Never. Never. No such thing. God is too good to ever allow that to happen. So don't let the devil play with your mind. All right? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 there. Oh, it's not there. It's on your handout. Didn't get it up there. It says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. The goal is not to just to cry, shed some tears, be sad, be depressed people, but the goal is to repent and to get back to God's love and God's mercy. This process of self-examination isn't going to be easy. All right? I promise you that if you are committed to doing this, it will not be easy. I promise you it will be hard. I promise you it will be painful. I promise you it's going to be something that, like I said, especially at the beginning, is going to take a lot more time than you wanted it to take. But I also promise you that it'll be the best thing that you ever do for your spiritual life. If you really are interested in growing spiritually, and you really want to grow into the image and likeness of Christ, this is what you need to do. Hey, nothing in life that's worth anything is ever easy. Nothing in life that ever has a big reward doesn't come without a big cost associated with it either. No, there's no difference right here. So my question to each one of you, all right, as we get ready to kick off 2006, is are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready to grow into the image of Christ? Is that a goal that you want to attain? And if so, are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to take the steps necessary? Are you willing to every single day take your 10, 15, 20 minutes to examine yourself and see where you have deviated? Like I said, examining yourself, self-examination is going to be the thing. I promise you, you're going to have a million excuses. I promise you, you're going to be too busy. I promise you, the phone's going to keep on ringing. I promise you, you're going to make excuses and all this kind of stuff. I promise you, it's going to happen tomorrow night. I promise you. But I also promise you that if you are able to overcome those distractions and overcome those kind of obstacles that are in your way, I promise you, there is no greater thing that you can do for your spiritual life than you learn how to examine yourself. 2006, what we want for 2006, we talk about the goal for 2006, all right, is that each one of us, we go to God, like I said, like a doctor. I'm going to go every single night and I'm going to take off all the masks. Take off all the junk that I try to act cool, act tough, and act like I got it together in front of all of you. Take off all that stuff and say, God, here I am. This is the real me. Fix me. Help me. Correct me. I hope that you're willing to join me in this journey, and I guarantee you that it will not be the same year, okay, if you're able to do this. Now, like I was saying earlier, if we ever want a real change in life, it has to happen in prayer. All right, we can sit here and talk the talk and say lots of nice words. It ain't gonna do anything for us. If we're serious about this, we gotta spend some time in prayer. So what we're gonna do right now is we're gonna turn off the lights there a little bit. We're gonna spend some time in prayer. And I encourage you, you know, if you want to kneel, you can kneel. If you want to stand, you can stand. But I encourage everyone, we'll take some time together. Just kind of think about what it is that we talked about here.